Take it under advisement. Our next case this morning is number 014279. See, is Roebuck & Company against Royal Surplus Lines.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Arthur Klein, and I am representing Plaintiff Appellant Sears Roebuck & Co. Let me take a moment, I think, at the outset to try to put in perspective why we think the district court's opinion was not only wrong, but also, I think, in our judgment, terribly unfair. Sears Roebuck had contracted with a company, as Your Honors are aware, named Roadmaster to purchase bicycles. The agreement with Roadmaster required that Roadmaster indemnify Sears for any claims arising out of allegedly defective products. It also required Roadmaster to purchase insurance, naming Sears as an additional insured. Roadmaster originally did so. That policy was canceled, unknown to Sears, and the coverage was switched to a second policy in which Sears was not an additional insurer.
Is the usual practice to require notice be given if there's a change in the policy?
Well,
that Royal would have to notify all additional named insureds.
I think our position does not say that Royal was obligated. Royal didn't notify Sears. Nobody notified Sears. But I think what is pertinent, I'm sorry, excuse me.
I guess what I'm confused about in this case is why Sears wasn't attempting to do more under the protection of the bankruptcy court, whether it's, you know, you may have a breach of contract claim against Roadmaster, for example. The fact that there's a bankruptcy doesn't mean that potentially aggrieved parties have no breach of contract claim. It's just a claim against the estate, you know, that gets adjudicated under the rubric of the bankruptcy. And similarly, the automatic stay, although it happens, people routinely go to bankruptcy courts under 362D, ask the bankruptcy judge to grant relief from the stay so that these kinds of liabilities that we're discussing in this case can be settled, as opposed to just saying, I've read the contract, there's an indemnity clause, ergo, you're liable to me, which is not good enough. I mean, Sears just seems to have wanted to decide from maybe filing one claim, not to have been using the bankruptcy court properly.
Well, whatever Sears did in the bankruptcy court, of course, is not.
Well, it is sort of here in that maybe this isn't the unfair outcome that you're portraying it to be. If you had remedies available that you didn't use for whatever reason.
Well, I think Sears did pursue remedies in the bankruptcy court. The difficulty, of course, is that this is a claim in which we believe there is also insurance coverage. The bankruptcy, to the extent that the claims have been processed, will yield an amount significantly less.
Bankruptcies tend to do.
Right. our position, and then let me see if I can get to the point, is that the policy that Royal did issue, the second policy, had an insured contract provision. The insured contract provision insured the indemnity obligation of Roadmaster. When Sears was sued by Mr. Battaglieri several years later, it didn't know that the insurance had been canceled. It tendered the defense to Roadmaster, to Royal, and ultimately wound up paying, under the decision of the district court, the entirety of the settlement of the Battaglieri action, including a release of Roadmaster, even though Roadmaster had been obligated to indemnify Sears, and even though we believe the Royal policy ensures that indemnity obligation. And I think it's in this context that we get to what is really the heart of this, and that is the district court's reliance on the Parsec case, the Alliance versus Parsec case, which the district court held, under all circumstances, requires a formal judgment of liability.
Or a settlement, legal obligation.
Well, I think they, I think she read it to mean a formal judgment of liability of Sears against Roadmaster. And while there are some superficial similarities, it's our view that she went much too far in applying Parsec to this case. Parsec, and I think here are some of the significant points. Parsec, like this case, involved an indemnitor who was also obligated to purchase insurance and did not. When the indemnitor and the indemnity were sued, the indemnity filed an action over, I think it was a counterclaim, against Parsec, and the insurance carrier agreed to defend it. It felt that there were viable defenses. In the face of that, the indemnitor, again, surreptitiously, assumed the defense of the indemnity, settled the underlying action without telling the carrier, and then went after the carrier for the settlement. And I think it was in that context that the Illinois Appellate Court held that you had to have a judgment or that a legal obligation could not be something less than that. Now, here we don't have any suggestion by Royal that a third-party action by Sears, and I don't think there could have been, would have had legally would have been defensible. The allegations, in our judgment, of the Bagtaglieri action fall squarely within the indemnity agreement, and to the extent that Sears could not pursue a third-party action against.
Well, that's one of the assumptions that you make, but that's where I'm talking about this limited relief from the bankruptcy stay, because there are cases in which bankruptcy courts have permitted a creditor plaintiff relief from the stay so that they can go ahead with an action to establish liability as a prerequisite to recovering from an insurer. Mm-hmm. Sears didn't take that step. You didn't try to say that this was one of those situations where Roadmaster should have, you know, was legally obligated to pay you.
Well, evidently they didn't, but
well, they did, not unless you're, there's something in the record that I haven't seen, which is always possible, but
but the point still remains that you're dealing, in this instance, with an insurance coverage of something where we believe the coverage is, the coverage and the legal obligation can and should be applied to something less than an absolute judgment. I think we also have an issue of what the additional $325,000 that Royal paid, and I think that's irrespective of the Parsec case, that the settlement documents in the road, in the Bagtaglieri case released Roadmaster. Royal was described as Roadmaster's insurance carrier, and at the very least, it appears manifestly unfair that Sears, who supposedly shouldn't have had to pay any of this at all, would be forced to pay the portion of the settlement, or at least a portion of the settlement, that obviously went to the benefit of Roadmaster, who was supposed to obligate, supposed to indemnify Sears.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you. May it please the court, Fred Smith on behalf of Royal. The real question, I think, before Your Honors is, in this case, is whether the district court was right in finding that Royal didn't owe coverage. There were a lot of agreements between Roadmaster and Sears, and there may still be disputes between Roadmaster and Sears, but the question is whether Royal had an obligation here.
Royal think it was doing when it entered into this settlement agreement? I mean, if Royal thought that it was unclear enough that it might have been responsible to cover Sears, then I could see why Royal might say, well, let's see, you know, maybe we really are responsible for Sears, hence we'll pay the whole thing if it's us, and maybe Sears is responsible for itself, hence Sears pays the whole $650,000. But the wording of it makes it look like Royal is, in fact, as your opponent was just saying, standing in Roadmaster's position, in which case does put Sears in a pretty ironic situation.
Well, I think the answer to that is that you have to realize that in the Battaglieri case, Roadmaster wasn't a defendant. No one, as you pointed out earlier, no one went and got a lifting of the stay to get Roadmaster in just for its insurance coverage. They weren't a defendant. They were in bankruptcy. No one had talked about their liability in that case. In fact, the words of Sears' own counsel, the predecessor to Mr. Klein, indicated in letters to Royal, Sears believes it's entitled to coverage under the Royal policy. They threatened that if Royal didn't settle this on behalf of Sears, that they were going to file an action in bad faith against Royal for failing to do so. They told Royal that the Royal million-dollar policy was enough to settle the case against Sears, and that there was a $750,000 figure that the mediator said that he could get rid of the case for if they paid it. Royal, in face of being told that Sears was going to sue them for bad faith if they didn't settle the case on behalf of Sears, right out of their letter, on behalf of Sears, said to Sears, let's split the settlement. We don't think you're covered. You're not an additional insured on our policy. There's no coverage for you under our policy, but you're telling us you're going to sue us. You're telling us you think there's coverage. Let's cap your liability so we don't have this open-ended case. I mean, it's important, I think, to understand that in the Battaglieri case, Mr. Battaglieri issued a $5 million demand. Going into the mediation, it was a $1.5 million demand, as to Sears. And Royal had a million-dollar policy. As you probably know, if there was a judgment excess of the policy and a finding of liability and that Royal had coverage, they had the potential for being responsible above their coverage limit. There were a lot of reasons why Royal thought it was important to cap that underlying case with a man who had a head injury from his bicycle accident and then worry about the coverage issue later. In fact, they said to Sears, why don't we just arbitrate this? Let's settle the case and we'll arbitrate it. Royal was working with Sears to settle Sears' liability and then working with Sears later to decide whether or not Sears had coverage. I think, Your Honors, it's telling in this case that in support of Sears' position, they cite two things. They cite Black's Law Dictionary for legal obligation, which has no bearing on your decision, I would submit. And they cite another decision by this court being the Roman Catholic Diocese versus Maryland Casualty. The reason that case has absolutely no application here is it was a duty to defend case number one, and this case is a duty to indemnify. In a duty to defend, as you know, it's a broader standard. If there's any potential for coverage, the carrier has an obligation to the insurer. In this case, it's a duty to indemnify, not a duty to defend standard. So I don't think Parsec really applies. I'm sorry, that the Maryland Casualty case applies. If you look at the facts in Parsec, that case that counsel identified to you, and you look at the facts in our case, they're identical. Royal would have defended Roadmaster if Roadmaster had been sued under that provision. Roadmaster wasn't sued. Roadmaster had no legal liability. Now, counsel says that at the foregone conclusion that if, in fact, Roadmaster had been sued, then Royal would have had to pay. That's not necessarily the case. As we've set out in our brief, in the underlying Battaglieri case, Mr. Battaglieri had his bicycle back to Sears on at least two occasions for repair. It certainly could have happened that if Roadmaster was a defendant, that there would have been a serious issue about whether it was really Sears' obligation, not Roadmaster. I think it's clear from the case law, the district court found that there the Parsec case applied. I think when you look at that case, you'll find the same thing. Sears talks about a secret switch by Royal. The district court specifically looked at that issue. We supplied three banker's boxes worth of documents to Sears' counsel that had the underwriting file that Royal had with Roadmaster in the claim file. Not one scintilla of evidence showed that Royal was in a conspiracy or a secret switch, and I think that that's telling as well. The bottom line is the Parsec case applies to this particular situation, and I think when you look at that case, you'll find that it absolutely governs how you should decide this case, and we ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Klein, you have 2 minutes.
Let me speak for a moment about, and I don't think I'll take the full minutes, but the $325,000 that Royal did contribute to the settlement. I don't think, with all due respect, that Mr. Smith has answered the issue. They bought something for Roadmaster. Whether or not Roadmaster was currently a party in the Battagliari action, they bought a cap, they bought peace, they got Roadmaster released, and I think under the circumstances, which include the proposition that Sears was in effect paying to release Roadmaster, who was obligated to indemnify it, I think at the very, very least the district court was half wrong. And even assuming that Parsec does apply here, we think Sears should at least be entitled to a ruling that it does not have to repay Royal the $325,000 it paid in the stated capacity as Royal's insurance carrier to settle the Tagliari action. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klein.